Well, we are in Ephesians 5. This is our fifth week in Ephesians, and we have 1 week to go. I'm looking forward to next week when Diego Mercado is the closer of the series. He'll be up preaching his first sermon in CORE, but it's not his first time to preach here in Heard, because 3 weeks ago he preached when we hosted the Woodlands Methodist Church for UM Army. It's Senior High Mission Week Camp. That's where he came from, and he preached then. And next week he gets to preach to us, and I'm, again, so glad that y'all are here at Marvin and our people. I like this book of Ephesians. I've enjoyed this series. I like Ephesians because, unlike many of the Apostle Paul's other letters, Ephesians is not written, it was not written to address a crisis in the church. Rather, Paul strengthens the church's identity by showing us both the way of hope and the way of reconciliation to God, with God, and also with each other, speaking to the whole. And we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. And this whole journey began 4 weeks ago, where the Apostle Paul reminded us, before he tells us what to do, he tells us who we are. He reminded us who we are. And then we saw that resurrection is not just our future, it is our present reality. God's power at work in us right here, right now, breaking into time and space, the resurrection power. 2 weeks ago, we heard Paul's prayer for the church that we would know Christ's love and his power and be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And last week, we turned a corner from identity to lifestyle, from who you are to how you live. Last week, Paul started to get practical, and he challenged us to take off the old self, be made new, and put on the new self. And he's talking about putting on Christ. And you know, we are dressed from the inside out with respect to Jesus, Christ in us. So his point was, don't live from who you were, but live from who you are now in Christ. And this morning, Paul is showing us what that new life looks like in our closest relationships. And as we walk through this passage, Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, we'll see that truth in three movements. First, the gospel redeems power. Second, marriage is the laboratory where that gospel power is revealed. And third, once it is, there's a mystery that we reveal in the world. And the big idea is this: Christ's self-giving love transforms how we relate to one another. Christ's self-giving love transforms how we relate to one another. And this morning's passage on marriage, husbands and wives, it's caused arguments for centuries. And with respect to marriage, people are so quick to ask, who is supposed to love whom? Who submits to one another? Who has authority? And when we get that wrong, at worst case, it's like two people in a boat looking in the opposite direction, rowing against each other, rowing in the opposite direction. They ain't going anywhere. And that's what happens when marriage becomes a competition for control. But it's actually true of every relationship that we are a part of. And the Apostle Paul is telling us, he's showing us, there is another way. There is a better way. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And beneath Paul's teaching on submission lies a deeper question. How will followers of Jesus use power? And we all have power, no matter who you are or what your position is. And sometimes power is positional. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes emotional. Sometimes it's simply the power to wound with words. And we're good at that. Power is inevitable. Domination is optional. That's what we're struggling to let go of. The need to dominate one another. The mark of Christian maturity is not pretending that power doesn't exist. It's using power the way that Jesus did. Paul's already given us the answer way up in Ephesians 5, verse 2. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And that is the heartbeat of this entire passage. First and foremost, the gospel redeems power. We see that point blank from Jesus in Mark 10:45 when Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We see it in Philippians 2 when the Apostle Paul describes Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Instead, he emptied himself and took on the nature of a servant, humbled himself, and became obedient, even obedient unto death on a cross. In all of this, Jesus embodied humility. He was smart with people and had an appetite for love that expressed itself in life-giving service. And that's power. Not wielding it, but giving it away. And that's Jesus. He invites us to be and do the same. It isn't optional. It's Christianity. It's what it means to follow him. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is now raising our relationships from selfishness into self-giving love. And that's why Paul turns to the home in the first place, the household code. And he talks about marriage, and he talks about parents and children. He talks about slaves and masters, but he starts with and gives the most time to marriage because it is the laboratory. The wedding lasts 20 minutes. Marriage lasts decades. One celebrates love and the other teaches it. And there's a lot of learning that goes on the other side of saying, "I do." Marriage is the most intimate lab for becoming like Christ. And it's a process. We are becoming like Christ. Marriage is unique because it is the one place you cannot hide. I mean, things might escalate, or we might give off the silent treatment. We might stuff our words in the name of keeping the peace, but you know that our body language speaks more than words. So why don't we just use words to name the stuff and get on with it? Before marriage, we tend to love an idealized version of the sacred other. We think, "Oh, I found my soulmate." And then 6 weeks in, we're like, "Man, they're chewing with their mouth open, leave dirty clothes all over the floor." And then 6 years later, we're like, "Who is this person?" Marriage reveals who they really are. But it also reveals who we really are. Recently, J.D. Walt wrote, "Love is blind. Marriage is an eye-opener." And marriage isn't the problem. It simply exposes what's already there, deep-rooted from birth. Selfishness, impatience, pride, prejudice. And that's exactly why the gospel is necessary and why Paul doesn't say, "Well, put on better communication," or "Take this personality assessment, see if y'all were even compatible in the first place." Paul points us to Jesus. We spend so much time asking, "Did I even marry the right person?" And I think God is more interested in us asking, "Am I becoming more like Christ?" That's the point and purpose of marriage. As Chris Legg put it, marriage is a living parable of God's love for his people. It's never been about two people. It's been about three, one and the other, growing and becoming more and more like Christ. It's marked by sacrifice. It's shaped more by self-giving than self-fulfillment. And this is not just about marriage. It's the way of Jesus. Because Christ himself gave, I can give. Because Christ loves, I can love. Because Christ sacrificed, sacrifice is no longer a failure of the system. Sacrifice is the point. Two people sacrificing for the other. J.D. Walt coined a new word, lowerarchy, where everybody races to the bottom. Everyone asks, how can I serve first? In God's kingdom, greatness isn't found in gaining power. It's found in giving power away, in surrendering to the one who has all the power. Jesus demonstrated that. He wins by going lower, and he invites us to do the same. I mean, the night before his death, he was with those he loved, those he knew the best. Seemingly they knew him too. And they're arguing over who's the greatest. And Jesus stands up from the table, puts a towel around his waist, and he starts to wash his disciples' feet. And then the next, stinky feet after stinky feet. And then he stands up from the table and he says, now, you do the same. Get lower. Serve one another in love. That's Philippians 2 lived out. It's the cross before the cross in action, which is Paul's point in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Christ gave up himself for the church. And his point is all-encompassing, both Paul and Jesus's. And he really makes his case in verse 31 through 33, because this is the mystery we reveal. And Paul reaches all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, back before sin, before shame, before brokenness. It's for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Marriage was already God's good gift before sin even entered the picture. And then in 5:32, Paul says, this is a profound mystery, everything I've just said. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. In other words, marriage does not lose its meaning in Christ. It finds an even deeper meaning. Marriage is not the point. Christ is. In this passage, marriage isn't the point. Christ is the point. Marriage tells a story, but in the same way that every marriage preaches, every friendship preaches, every family preaches, every church preaches, every relationship tells the world something about Jesus, whether they are non-believer or believer, whether they are single, divorced, widowed, parents, married, employees, children, neighbors, everyone. Because Ephesians 5:21 is never just about marriage. And so the next disagreement in your marriage just might be the laboratory. The difficult coworker tomorrow, it's the lab. That neighbor who gets on your last nerve is the lab. The parent angry all the time, the lab. The conflict is the lab. The disappointment is the lab. The next hard thing is the lab. It's not just about marriage, but if God is speaking to your marriage this morning, pay attention, listen up, submit to one another, love one another. Think about the sculptor who, with every hammer, he is chiseling away part of something that doesn't belong, and something beautiful is being made. And so every so often our marriage feels like that chink, or maybe friendship feels like that, and sometimes parenting feels like that. Sometimes church feels like that. God is not trying to ruin you. He is trying to reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory. And with his presence, he's bringing the hope of all glorious things that are to come. Life is God's laboratory for making us look like Jesus. And that's the goal for each and every one of us, to become more and more like him. Not because God enjoys making life difficult, but because sometimes formation requires friction. Over the course of this series, the invitation has been, wake up to who you are. Wake up to what God has done. Wake up to God's love and power. Wake up to the new that is in you. And this morning, the point is, wake up to the fact that God uses every relationship to make you more like Jesus. And so I want you to hear this, because tomorrow morning, the laboratory opens again, and it may be your marriage. It may be your family. It may be your workplace, that difficult conversation you've just been avoiding. I want to ask the room to live with these questions. What relationship is God using to make you more like Jesus? Where are you still trying to win instead of love? And if every relationship preaches, what gospel are your relationships proclaiming? We are not talking about behavior modification. We're talking about resurrection power at work inside of you and me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now raising our relationships out of selfishness into self-giving love. And none of us naturally live that way. None of us. We come by it honestly. We naturally grasp. We naturally protect ourselves. We naturally demand our rights. And that's why Paul is simply saying, don't try harder. It's not about trying harder. It's about resurrection. And he points us to Jesus, because Jesus did not simply teach self-giving love. He demonstrated it. And it is impossible to love like Jesus until you've been loved by Jesus. So Lord, this morning, we want to rest in your love. We want to experience healing and wholeness from the inside out. And we want to experience lowerarchy, where we are serving one another in love all across the board. Yes, in marriage, also in singleness, in our homes and at work. In line camp this week. Help us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.